for tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Saturday evening, April the 18th, 1987. Passover weekend teaching and deliverance camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Tommy Cook of Tulsa, Oklahoma, is the teacher of the evening. We try here, and we believe in, the fivefold ministry. For the scripture tells us that without the fivefold ministry, we'll not be perfected. And I want to be perfected. So that's why we have here, and always have had, and always will have, various ministries. So that we can come into perfection in the things of the Lord. The scripture tells us that without fivefold ministry, there will be no perfection. So every church should, and the pastor of every church should seek to have in their pulpits from time to time different ministries so that the fivefold ministry will flow through the church. Now, if the pastor doesn't do that, he's not obeying the word of the Lord. For the scripture says that without the prophet, without the evangelist, without the teacher, without the pastor, and without the apostle, we'll not be perfected. And I believe that we have been privileged and are privileged to have all of these ministries to flow and move in this place. And that's what the Lord has showed us when we came here. And He showed us not to seek after the high and mighty, but that the Lord would send in who He would have for us to minister here in this place. And He's been faithful in doing that. And He also informed me when we came here, that He would send ministries to minister here what He said to me was, they'll come from under the rocks. In other words, they would be unknowns, would be unknown to the general public, but they would have the anointing and the glory of the Lord in their ministry and on their lives, and He would send them here to minister by the Spirit of the Lord. And He has been faithful, and He has done that. And I appreciate the Lord fulfilling that in this place. So when you come here, now we were called here. The vision that the Lord gave me, and the reason we're here, is to teach and minister deliverance. That is number one. And then number two behind that is to fulfill the calling of the fivefold ministry. We were called here basically for the deliverance ministry. That we have tried and do fulfill, because we have at least one deliverance service every day of every camp meeting. And sometimes we have two and three or four. And you can't go away from here and say that this place doesn't have deliverance. We have it every day. And that is our calling here. But along with that, we also have the fivefold ministries so that we will be perfected in the things of the Lord. And the Lord gave me a vision in 1967. We don't live on visions and dreams. We live on the word of the Lord. The Lord made it very plain and known to me that it was from Him. And then I began a search, much to Irma's dismay and discomfort. I began a search to find the place. I did not know that there was a Hot Springs, Arkansas. I was not aware of Hot Springs, Arkansas. I knew there was a Hot Springs. And I thought that Hot Springs, the only one, was the one where Roosevelt went. I knew about that, but I didn't really know where that was. And at first, when I first heard about this place, I thought this was the place where he came. Later, I found that it was in Georgia. But I wasn't aware of that when I first heard about Hot Springs, Arkansas. But I searched for about 3 years, looking for the place that the Lord had showed me in the vision. It was a place that had clear running water. It was a place that had an evergreen atmosphere year-round, and it had a mountainous, hilly area. And the only place I had traveled quite a bit by that time with the Full Gospel Businessmen, the only place that I had found that didn't have red or yellow or muddy water was up in the northwest Montana and Idaho and Washington and Oregon and Northern California. So I spent most of my time, every opportunity I had, searching in that area for this place. And then by a miracle, down in at the Full Gospel Convention in Jackson, Mississippi one year, well, we met some people from this area, and through circumstances, they invited us to come here and said this was glorious, and we would the place would be here. Well, we accepted their invitation and came, and then spent 2.5, almost 3 years more searching this area, and had come down to giving up. During that time, we had been also become associated with the camps farthest out, and we traveled when we were on the council for camps farthest out at Eatonton, Georgia. And so we were going there once or twice every year from Los Angeles, California, over to the other side, about 100 miles the other side of Atlanta, to be part of the council ring and part of the ministry at the camps farthest out, where Brother Derek Prince and all the ministries were ministering at that time. And as we traveled there, I would come here and search and look, or I flew in here many times by myself and rented a car and traveled. So we came through here on the way to Eatonton, Georgia, and we stopped and we looked. And I'd made arrangements to fly over the place to rent a plane and fly and see if I could find anything from the air, because I'd found nothing from the ground. And didn't get the opportunity to do it, and went on to Georgia. We were supposed to be there 2 weeks. After the first week, I said to Irma, I think we should go back to Hot Springs, Arkansas, and not stay the second week here. I want to go back to Hot Springs. So she consented, but she wasn't at least a bit happy about anything that was going on. You see, we were retired, could work when we wanted to, drew a very high salary for our work, and had no want or need of anything. And this vision meant giving up all of that. You could look over the edge and you could see that eventually that's what it amounted to. So Irma wasn't at all rejoicing in what I was doing. Well, anyway, we loaded up our Winnebago and started back to Hot Springs from Eatonton, Georgia. And after we got down the road a few miles, just before we got into Atlanta, I said to her, you know, let's fast and pray as we go back to Hot Springs. And if the Lord doesn't show us anything, I'm never coming back to Hot Springs. Well, that didn't make her unhappy at all. So she was in agreement. She was in agreement. Well, anyway, we arrived here Sunday afternoon. We left Eatonton Saturday and arrived here Sunday afternoon. And we called the real estate lady who had been, who had brought us here, and who we called her and told her we were in town. And she began to praise the Lord on the telephone and said, where are you? And I said, I'm on the payphone, the filling station. She said, well, get on out here to the house. We got something to tell you. So we went on out to the house, and when we came in, why, she said, at our Thursday ladies' prayer meeting, there was a prophecy came forth and an interpretation through two women that have never seen you. And the prophecy and interpretation that came forth was that the Lord had the place for us, for the Millers, and he was going to show it to us. Well, I immediately said to her, I said, well, he'd better hurry up, because this is our last trip here. We told the Lord coming over here that unless he showed us or we found the property, we were not coming back. Well, so I said, well, I'm going to go take a flight. I had the airplane reserved, and I didn't get to go. I'm going to go fly. So I went out to the airport and flew all over 30, 40 miles, every area around here, and nothing from in my heart touched me from the air. So I went back over to the Baron's home, and while I was gone, Lee, who was a very quiet man, who's now gone on, who had great wisdom and helped us here in the beginning of the campground, spoke up, and he perturbed his wife very much, because he smoked these little black cigars. But he was a very sweet, loving man, and I'm sure that even though he was doing that, I know that he loved the Lord and that he was saved. But that just perturbed her no end that he did that. But the Lord used him to her, anyway, in spite of her, that the Lord used him. And while I was gone, he was over in the corner, and Herman and her were carrying on, and all of a sudden he spoke up, and he said, "You know, I know where that property is they're looking for." And she thought he was kidding her, because this had been going on now for so long, and she at first thought he was kidding her, jesting her. And he said, "No, I'm serious." He said, "It's the Sherlin Hilliard property out on the lake. That's exactly what Glenn has described, and that's the place they're looking for." She said, "Well, I'm going to call Sherlin and find out. It's not for sale, but I'm going to call him and ask him if he'd sell it." So she called him, and he said, "Well, some people are looking for a property for a Christian campground, and Lee thinks that what your price would fits what they want. And would you consider selling it?" He said, "Well, I might." And so she said, "Can we come out?" He said, "Well, this is Sunday afternoon. You can come out and look at it, but I'll not discuss any business with you till tomorrow." She said, "Well, that's okay. We agree to that. That's no problem." So we came out and drove on the property, and he put us in a truck. Now, at that time, you could walk across the water anywhere down here, from here to the highway down below. You could walk across there if you had a pair of goulashes on. So we got in a truck, and a pickup truck, and he and I and Brother Lee, and we drove across the lake bed, and drove across and went back in the timber. And the farther we drove, the more the goosebumps were. So we came back, went back to Inez's, and on the way I said, "We can't buy that place." She said, "Why?" I said, "We don't have enough money." She said, "How do you know?" I said, "I know what that place is worth. We don't have that kind of money." I said, "It would take more than we could put together for everything just to make a down payment on it." And she said, "Well, now, let's just wait and find out." Because, you see, I knew the value of property in California, but I wasn't aware of the value of property yet in Arkansas. So, but the Lord knew. So the next morning, she called up and got after him to give us a price. And he said, "Well, I'm waiting for a call from my a cousin, because he has an interest in the property. We own it together, and we have to come to an agreement between us what the selling price is. And he's supposed to call me back by 10 o'clock. He said, "Surely he'll call me. I'll call you just as quick as he can." Well, 11 o'clock came, and he still hadn't called. So she says to me, she said, "Glenn, write me a check for $5,000. Give me some earnest money, and I'll draw up a contract." I said, "Well, Inez, there's not $5,000 in our checking account. It has to be transferred from a savings account." She said, "That's all right. Just write me the check." So I wrote her the check. I was obedient. But in the meantime, and then she drew up a contract. And in the meantime, though, while this is going on, Humbard, Mother Humbard, came in to the Baron's home, because that's where she stayed every time she come to town here. And this is their home. This is the Humbard's home. They still own property in this town, and she would come and stay at the Baron's home every time she came. And when she'd come, it was home to her. She didn't knock on the door. She just came, opened the door, and walked in. So here, about 9:30 or 9:45 or something in the morning, here this lady comes and opens the door and walks in the living room. And here we are. And we got introduced to Sister Humbard. And then Inez tells her what we're there for and what we're doing. And immediately, she fell on the floor on her face and began to prophesy to us. We had seen them many times before, because we used to attend all their meetings in California when they came to California for 6 weeks every year, and we always attended their meetings. So we had seen them many times, but she didn't know who we were. But immediately the Spirit of the Lord fell on her, and she began to prophesy to us. She prophesied that the Lord would yet again bring His Spirit into this area as He had in years past. You know, this is the home of the Assemblies of God. This is the home of W.D. Grant. This is his home. This is the home of, I believe, the Church of God, or one of them. This is the home, the home of it. And this is also the place where the great revival of Mary Edder Wooding was held in the late 1800s or early 1900s, where there were thousands of people come by wagons and horses from all over the country came here, and they had 15 or 20,000 people here in attendance to her meetings. And a mighty manifestation and power of God was in this place. And so she said that the Lord had shown, and this is where the Humbard started. This is where they had a revival for over two years. This is where Brother Humbard was horsewhipped. This is where he was tied to a tree and tarred and feathered for the gospel's sake. So the gospel in this area has been pioneered by pioneers who have suffered for Jesus. So anyway, she said that the Lord had told her that yet again there would be a great moving and outpouring of the Spirit of the Lord in this area, and that we would be part of that move of the Lord. And I believe that. I believe it just as much as I'm standing here in the flesh. I believe that that will happen. With a mighty outpouring of the manifestation of the power of God in our midst, such as this world has yet to see. We declare and make Jesus Lord of our lives. Well, anyway, to make a long story short, because we've got more things to do tonight, we ended up by 2 o'clock in the afternoon coming to an agreement on the price, signing a contract, and we loaded up in our Winnebago on our way to the next Full Gospel Business Men's Convention in Denver, Colorado, over the Labor Day holidays, and where we were to take care of the book table, where Irma was to set up a book table larger than this one, and I was to handle and be responsible for the tapes. And we went on. And after we were down the road, about halfway to Tulsa somewhere in here, why, Irma began to get melancholy, and she began to cry. And I said, "Now what's wrong?" She said, "This morning we didn't know anybody anything, and now look at the debt we got." Well, 2 years later, a little over 2 years later, we packed up from California and came here in March. She flew in here with her handbag, and I followed with the Winnebago. And then we went back, me and some of the fellows, I don't know if Daniel went or not, but some of the grandchildren. We went back with the Winnebago and the big trailer and loaded everything out of the house in September and moved the balance here after the Lord sold our house in California, which was a miracle because it was right after the big earthquake and property had no value in California. I could have had a dozen houses that are now worth $200,000 or $300,000. All I'd had to done was gone in and sign my name on the line at the bank and be responsible for the payment on it. That's all I'd had to done, even with the furniture in the houses. But a property had no value, but that same property today is worth 4 or 5 or 6 times what it was then. But the Lord sold our house, we made a profit on it, and it was enough to build the chapel that we built here, which is now tore down except for this red rug when we put this building over. But we had sufficient for that. Then we came, and the Lord, I bought out a bankruptcy uptown of a bookstore, and that became our offices and bookstore. And then the Lord sold that for all cash, which brought in the money to build the A-frame. And then the Lord, now 2 years ago, I believe it was, or three, somewhere, why the Lord has supplied sufficient. This place is free and clear, and there's no debt on this place. And there will never be another debt on this place. Thanks to the household of faith that have supplied the needs beyond our imagination. God is faithful. He is faithful. Well, I came back here in December to finish the arrangements with the bank do that. And then we flew back. Irma and I flew back here for the holidays. And all of our family came here to be with us at the holidays. Her folks had moved here. Either our daughter and the children had either moved here or were in the process of moving here. And Irma's brother came here. And we had a big family reunion here. New Year's afternoon, I believe it was New Year's afternoon, I took my camera and went for a walk. They all started with me, but I was the only one that finished because I didn't know that all these things around here that look like blackberries are sawbriars, and it's impossible to walk through them. Spicy kids in loose pants and all. So they all had to come home, but I continued, and I went completely around the property taking pictures of it because I had never encompassed or encircled the property, the fence row, until that time. And as I went around the property, I went up the west side back to the south end and across the end and come down the east side. And this property crowns in the middle and tapers off, and there's a stream of water on both sides of the property, fed by springs in the back. And the stream on this side is much larger than the stream on that side. And I was following the stream down this side, and I thought as I was walking along, following the stream of water, I thought that would make a pretty picture. So I jumped across the stream and turned around to take the picture, which is hanging here. And that is the vision that I had in February of 1967. And I was standing in the middle of what God had showed me, and he had fulfilled and been faithful and fulfilled the promise that he'd given to me. And we have tried to be faithful since then to what the Lord's called us to. It's not easy. It's hard. It's hard. Because if you do it this way, it's wrong. Or if you do it that way, somebody else thinks it's wrong. But we have to do it the way the Lord leads us, and let the Lord judge whether I did right or wrong. But I took two colored 35 millimeter pictures and went back to California, had them enlarged, and a friend of ours, mother, was an artist, and she took the two color enlarged slides, pictures, and painted us two paintings. One's hanging here and one upstairs in the office, which is what I saw when the Lord revealed that to me. So the Lord's faithful, and he's faithful because in his faithfulness, he has helped us to do all that's done, and what we still have to do, and to clear this place so it's debt-free. And this place is not in my name or anybody else's. This is a corporation. Everything that's in here, we have signed into the corporation that we put in and belongs to the Lord. And all we are just trustees and guardians of that which the Lord has given us to trust to make a place for you, that you can come and enjoy the glory of the Lord, that his presence and his glory shall be in our midst as we uplift Jesus and magnify him and make him the Lord of every situation of our life. Now, that's hard. That's very hard. Sometimes it's almost impossible. But Jesus is Lord. He is Lord. And as we make him Lord, he is faithful to fulfill every need and help us to be faithful in that which he's called us to. We are not anyways near completing what the Lord has shown me is to be done here. We are only, I would almost say, in the beginning stages. And I'm not a young man. I wasn't a young man when I came here. But that doesn't bother me a bit. The Lord is faithful, and he will complete that which he has said he will do. And just like I said this morning, I guess it was this morning, it could have been this afternoon, I don't remember how the days run together, that the word of the Lord has promised us 70 years. It is written that 70 years is promised to me and to you. Then after that, as God sees fit to add unto us, but I believe there's the possibility of 120. And then by that time, the kingdom will become a reality in the earth. And we will be ruling and reigning with the King. Amen. Well, some of you men are going to have to go home before the morning service. And there is something that the Lord showed me here. I believe it was a year ago. So if you'll turn with me to Exodus 23 and verse 14. Three times thou shalt keep a feast unto me in the year. Thou shalt keep the feast of unleavened bread. Thou shalt eat unleavened bread 7 days, as I commanded thee, in the time appointed of the month Abib. For in it thou camest out of Egypt, and none shall appear before me empty. And the feast of harvest, the firstfruits of thy labors, which thou hast sown in the field. And the feast of ingathering, which is in the end of the year, when thou hast gathered in thy labors out of the field. Three times in the year all thy males shall appear before the Lord God. Exodus 34, verse 22. And thou shalt observe the feast of weeks, of the first fruits of wheat harvest, and the feast of ingathering at the year's end. Thrice or three times in the year shall all your men children appear before the Lord God, the God of Israel. For I will cast out the nations before thee, and enlarge thy borders. Neither shall any man desire thy land, when thou shalt go up to appear before the Lord thy God three times in the year. Now, the Lord says that he will cast out the nations before us. Today, we're interested in getting the nations in us that don't belong there cast out of us. And then he says that he will enlarge our borders as we are delivered and set free from these things. And then he says that when we do this, he will send an, it doesn't say an angel, but I'm going to say that, that he'll send an angel or protection, the Holy Spirit, to watch over your property so that nothing will happen to it. Nobody will steal anything. Nobody will touch a thing. Nobody will take a thing. Because he says, neither shall any man desire thy land when thou shalt go up to appear before the Lord thy God three times in the year. Matthew chapter 26, verse 17. Now the first day of the feast of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying unto him, where wilt thou that we prepare for thee to eat the Passover? Verse 20. Now when the evening was come, he sat down with the 12, and they did eat. So, well, let's look at Matthew 27. And when Jesus, when he had cried again, verse 50, Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. Now, feast number one was fulfilled and completed. Feast number one. Turn with me to Acts chapter 2. And according to my calculations and the way I can understand, when the sun set this evening, Jesus came out of the tomb. It's the way I understand the scripture, the way my calculations, at sunset tonight, the beginning of the first day of the week, Jesus came forth from the tomb. Acts chapter 2, verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Fulfillment of feast number two. Feast number one, feast number two have been fulfilled. But the fulfillment of the Feast of Tabernacles is still in the future. That has not been fulfilled. So the requirement for the men to come before the Lord is still in force until the time of the fulfillment of the Feast of Tabernacles, which is yet future. So, in my opinion, we are required to do that. And I'm going to ask, if you would like to, all of the men. Now, there's no age limit in this. It says all the males. That's every male, from the youngest to the oldest, to appear before the Lord. I'm going to ask all the men to come and stand here and appear before the Lord. Wave strike. At sunset tonight was the time of the wave sheaf offering also. Well, now, do you realize the obligation that lays on each one of you? You are a priest unto the Lord. Every single man standing before me a priest in at least one way. He will be a priest of his house, over his household, when he marries. Now, he may also be a priest over the family. I carry that responsibility. I am the eldest son of the eldest son, which makes me responsible for my family as well as my household. Some of you may stand in that same place here tonight. We stand in an awesome place before the Lord because we are responsible. You men are responsible. As the head of your house and as the priest of your house, the obligation of the word of the Lord falls upon you to be responsible to see that it's taught to your children and that it's expounded unto them and that they understand it. And if you don't do it, you will be accountable for it before the Lord because you are the priest of your house. And if you are the priest of your family, you have yet another obligation to pray and intercede for the family if you are the eldest son of the family, in your family line. But we have an awesome responsibility to stand before the Lord tonight and to accept that responsibility of the priesthood of our families. And the nation will rise and fall, and the kingdom of God will come into existence, as the priest of the house, take their place in the family and stand forth to declare that Jesus is Lord. And the sooner that the priest of the family stand forth and declare and make Jesus Lord of the families, the sooner the king will come back.
Hallelujah.
Because he's raising up a priesthood.
Hallelujah.
A holy priesthood. That is holy unto the Lord. There are three places in the Bible where it says in Revelations, and I didn't think to put that down, that there is a kingdom of priests. Not kings and priests. That's a misinterpretation. If you look at your script in the original scripture, and two scriptures are interpreted right, and two others are not. There's four times it appears. And each time it should say that we are a kingdom of priests unto God. Jesus Christ is king. He is the king.
Yeah.
We are not kings, but we are to become a kingdom of priests unto God. There's no other king but Jesus. Jesus Christ alone is king. There's none other. And all kingdoms of the earth shall lay their crowns at his feet. And they will confess that he is Lord, whether they want to or not, but I want to. I come to confess that he's Lord because I make him Lord of my life, and I want him to be my Lord. I want to walk before him in righteousness and holiness to the very best of my ability. So that responsibility lies on the shoulders of you men, from the youngest, even though they may not understand what I'm saying, to the eldest here. That responsibility is in the responsibility of the man, the head of the house. Father, we've come gathered together this evening as the men of this congregation. Father, we've come to present ourselves before you. I have come to present myself before you. These men have come to present themselves before you. Now, Father, work in our hearts and lives. Help us to understand the responsibility that rests upon us. Help us to understand the responsibility that you've given unto us as fathers and as priests of our households and as priests over whatever you have given us and me as priest over this campground. Father, help us to understand the responsibility that is ours as we labor together for the kingdom's sake, that Jesus Christ can return and that his kingdom can become a reality in the earth as it is in our hearts and lives. And we thank you for it, Father. Now, Father, I commit these men from the youngest to the eldest to thy care and thy keeping, and that from this night forward they shall never be the same, for they shall understand, and there shall be within their heart an indwelling presence of the living God that shall impart in unto them the reality that they are a priest in the kingdom of God, and that they will take that priestly place and stand before the altar in their house. Kingdom come, thy will be done in this earth and in these men as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name I pray, amen and amen. The Lord bless you. Amen. It's a privilege again to have Brother Tommy Cook come and minister the word of the Lord this evening and bring the word of the Lord to us.
Praise the Lord. Reach your hands out to me and let's pray, will you? Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you tonight for this word. Lord, we thank you that your word says that in light we would see light. And so, Lord, tonight let that light shine upon us, Lord, in our hearts, our minds, Lord, even in our bodies, Lord. Let the strength of the Lord come into us tonight. Well, Lord, we take authority over weakness and sleepiness tonight in this service. We bind it in the name of Jesus. Lord, let a spirit of victory come in this service tonight. And we thank you and we praise you, Lord. Give us utterance in the Holy Ghost, Lord. We're nothing without you. We submit to you, to your authority, and to your government and to your order in the name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Turn tonight in the Word of God to Daniel. I want to give a couple of scriptures in the Old Testament. And probably we'll spend most of the time in the New Testament. But like Brother Miller said, it's one book. But in Daniel chapter 2. And I'd like to say also we've been glad to be here again at Lake Hamilton. We always enjoy being here. Praise the Lord. I believe we have a mandate from the Lord to reach the hungry for God. One time God said to me, he said, you'll go to this nation. He spoke those words to me. And there was a man had a vision of our ministry that the Lord has given us. It's the ministry the Lord's given us. We are nothing in ourselves. But he had a vision and he saw me like a little boy on a skateboard going in a little circle. And that circle got a little larger and larger and larger and finally went way out. And he said, that's the way your ministry shall be. And then he came into the vision as he saw me ministering. And he said, stay humble, stay humble, stay humble. How many know we got to go down? Whether you're in the ministry or not, you got to go down. And if we go down, how many know he's able to raise us up? And I believe he's raising men and women up in this hour. Praise the Lord. I believe he's doing something in America in certain groups like right here. I believe God is doing a great work. But in Daniel now, let's go to Daniel. Chapter 2, verse 34. Thou sawest till that a stone was cut out without hands, which smote the image upon his feet, that was iron and clay, and brake them to pieces. Then was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, and the gold broken to pieces together, and become like the chaff of the summer threshing floors, and the wind, which is the Holy Ghost, carried them away, that no place was found for them, and the stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. Praise the Lord. I believe that little stone is a people God is raising up that is going to smite this Antichrist system in the feet. And God's going to bring it down. How many believe that? Now, I want to show you this. I didn't plan to go this way, but I'm going. Let's go now to Revelation chapter 13. No, chapter 10. Chapter 10. Praise the Lord. How many know the greatest teacher we have is the Holy Ghost? And without him, I'll tell you, nobody can teach. In Revelation 10, verse 1, I saw another mighty angel coming down from heaven out of the spirit realm. And he's clothed with a cloud, and there's a rainbow upon his head, and his face was, as it were, the S-U-N, the sun, and his feet like pillars of fire. How many know that Jesus' face shone like the sun in Matthew 17? Yes. And here, this angel, I believe it's the Lord, coming down, but his feet is like pillars of fire. Fire speaks of tribulation. It speaks of trials, doesn't it? How many know Jesus tonight is the head? He's the head of the church, and yet we're the feet. He's Christ the head, and we're part of Christ the body here on the earth. Now, in verse 2, he talks about the verse 2. He laid his hand, he had in his hand a little book open, and he set his right hand, right foot on the sea, and his left foot on the sea. Notice, the right foot on the sea, and his left foot on the earth. I think I read that wrong. On the sea, on the earth. Now look in Revelation 13. Praise the Lord. I want to show you the people that we read about in Daniel. Chapter 13, verse 1. And I stood upon the sand of the sea. The sea speaks of humanity. And saw a beast rise up. How many know there's a beast that wants to rise up in you and me too? And this beast rose up out of humanity, having seven heads and ten horns. Now, where did he rise up out of? Where did that angel put his foot on? The sea. That's the beast. Then in chapter 13, verse 11, and I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth. This is the false prophet ministry. I mean, no, that's true in Scripture. And he had two horns like a lamb, but he had dragon breath. He spake like a dragon. And notice, one came out of the sea, one came out of the earth. The beast out of the sea, the false prophet out of the earth. And yet John saw the feet on the sea and on the earth. Again, he's the head. Come on. We're the feet. And Satan must be bruised under our feet shortly. That's the church. Can you say amen?
Amen.
And so there is a little stone cut out without hands that smote the image, hallelujah, and the thing crumbled, and the wind of the Holy Ghost came and blew it away. That's what God thinks about the Antichrist system. Amen? Can you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. Now turn to Revelation 12, and to give you another scripture here real quick, and then we'll go over to the Gospels. Revelation 12, we won't go into the whole story, but there's a woman in the heavens, clothed with the sun, the moon's on her head. The moon's under her feet, excuse me. She's clothed with the sun. The stars are on her head, 12 stars, which is government, 12 apostles, which means apostolic authority in this church at the end of the age. She's with child. She's crying. She's travailing to give birth to a child. And this child is not just a little baby. This is a man child. This is a son, a corporate son. I mean, the scripture says, he that overcometh shall inherit all things. I will be his God. He shall be my son. It is a corporate son. And so here she's giving birth to a corporate son. Verse 5. Now notice. And she brought forth a man child.
who was to rule or shepherd what? Where's the nations? Right here. All nations, Brother Miller touched this today, with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up. Her child was caught up unto God. God is a spirit. Hello. God is a consuming fire. He is light. He's life. He's love. And so this man child's caught up unto God and to his throne. Isn't that right? Now, let's go to the book of Mark.
Hallelujah.
Go to the book of Mark, chapter 6 tonight. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
And that man child, let me tell you who they are. They are overcomers. They are God's sons that he's raising up. Right today, there is no full-grown son on the earth. Did you hear me? But God is raising up sons. Amen?
Amen.
Are growing people up to a place where they'll become his sons. I should say it that way. But in Mark chapter 6, let's look at verse 31.
Hallelujah.
Now, Jesus said here to his disciples, in Mark 6:31, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place. Come apart before you come apart.
Amen.
How many know we can come apart? In fact, how many know in the ministry you'll come apart right quick if you're not careful? Because you can push yourself. How many know there was a man in the New Testament who did that? He pushed himself and he nearly died in Philippians chapter 2. How many know we need to be wise as what? Serpents, come on, harmless as doves. And in the ministry, we can get to going too much, and I guess I'm talking to myself, and you can overdo it. Amen? I heard that again today by somebody. I don't know who it was. But come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest for a while. Well, Jesus knew the apostles needed rest. He knows we need rest. Amen? Amen. And I was sure glad Brother Miller didn't ask me to get up and start prophesying to these men tonight, because I felt tonight I didn't feel like it. But he didn't do it. Praise the Lord. Hear it from the Lord. Now, look in verse. Let's go down a little further here now. Now, here's the thing. They come apart to get some rest. And all of a sudden, the people, again, start coming where they are. How many has ever tried to go get rest and all of a sudden, here comes people. And you can't get rest. And I can just hear Peter saying, Jesus, you won't believe it, but there's more coming this time than were before. And so here come the crowds. Hallelujah. And they're not getting into rest yet. Now, I try to go get rest, and all of a sudden, here comes people. And you can't get rest. And I can just hear Peter saying, Jesus, you won't believe it, but there's more coming this time than were before. And so here come the crowds. Hallelujah. And they're not getting into rest yet. Now, look in verse 37. Here's the crowd, and he says, give you them to eat. Now, that's a command. Give ye them to eat. How many know he's still saying that today?
Amen.
Not just natural bread, necessarily, although that's part of it. You know, there wasn't any Safeways out here in the wilderness. And yet, Jesus is asking them to give the people something to eat. Well, we know the whole story. I'm not going into that aspect too much. There was a little boy with two fishes, five loaves. Verse 39. And he commanded them to sit down by the companies upon the green grass in the ranks. Otherwise, they were not going to eat until they sit down and did exactly what he said. There was an order here.
Yes, right.
And as we come God's order, how many know he'll feed us?
Amen.
You won't be fed if you're out of order, I'll tell you that. All right, that's another message. Now, verse 42. They all ate, they were filled. Verse 43, they took up 12 baskets, that's the number of government, full of the fragments and of the fishes. Now, I think the Amplified says it's 12 small baskets. How many know they were to gather up everything that nothing be lost? Small little baskets. Now, there's another group that was fed. And there was a smaller group of people, but there was 7 baskets. You remember that? Left over. And that meant big baskets. How many know God's got a first fruits first? A smaller group, huh? But how many know he's going to bring a great harvest also in? All right. Now, Let's see here. Verse 45. Now let's start here. And straightway, he, number one, constrained his disciples. How many know he's still doing it? He's requiring some things of you and I. He constrained them to get in the ship. Leave the crowds. Get in the ship and go to the other side. That was a command, not an option. I mean, when revival breaks out, we don't like to leave it. Philip had a great revival one time, and God said, leave the city, go to desert. Remember that? Praise the Lord. And straightway he constrained his disciples to get in the ship and go to the other side. Now, that's a command also to us today. They were to go to the other side, unto Bethsaida, but how many know there's another side tonight?
Yes.
Look in Revelation 22 just a second. Keep your place here. Hallelujah. Revelation, I believe it's 22, maybe it's 21. Let's see here. Revelation. Verse 1, chapter 22, verse 1. He showed me a pure river of water of life. He is that water. He's that river. He's that fountain. He's that crown of life. He's that tree of life. Clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. How many know that river always leads back to the Lamb?
Amen.
And that river is in you and me tonight. In Genesis, it was in the garden. We're a garden. In Ezekiel, it's coming from the house. We're the house. And Jesus said, out of your innermost being or belly shall flow rivers of living waters. And right here it's from the throne. But it's in you and it's in me. But it's flowing from the Lamb.
Amen.
Amen. And notice, in the midst of the street of it, and on what? Either side of the river, there was what? Notice, on either side. How many know there's a tree of life? People are feeding on there, but we're feeding on one here.
Amen.
His name is Jesus. Amen. And so I'm telling you, Jesus is telling us also that we are to go to the other side as well. Amen.
Amen.
How many know there are people there wanting to come back here in a resurrected state? Isn't that right? And yet there are people here, we know that's actually physically dying and going, and yet there are people that are not dying that maybe the Lord's catching up to. Isn't that right? Come on. Hallelujah. Quiet in here. And straightway constrained his disciples to get in the ship and go to the other side while he sent the people away. Now, Jesus, in verse 46, goes into the mountain to pray.
Yeah.
How many know he's still our high priest? And what's he going to do? He's going to wait. He's going to watch. Isn't that right?
Yeah, that's right?
Because the storm's coming. How many know a storm's coming?
Amen.
And if you don't think there's a storm coming, then you're deceived, and I'm deceived. But I'm telling you, there's a storm brewing. I was in Wisconsin recently. I had a vision, and I saw the storm in the heavens just coming, boiling, coming. Where a darkness and clouds that were coming in the heavens. And here in this scripture, he goes in the mountain to pray. And when evening was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea. Now, the ship represents the church. The church. I mean, that's God's people aboard. And he alone was on the land. And he saw them. Now, notice, let's go back to verse 45. He constrained them. Now, that word there means he compelled them. It means it must needs happen, or it was needful to go to the other side. And it's needful that you and I hear a word in this hour that will prepare us to go to the other side.
Hallelujah.
Because there is a people going to be caught up to the other side in the Spirit. Anybody want to be part of it?
Amen.
Hallelujah. And so here in verse 48, he sees them toiling. That word toil means to, it means to toil or work, but it means to be in vexed or tormented or in pain. Now here's the disciples trying to row in a storm in the natural. Have you seen a lot of work? Can't you hear old Peter saying, Jesus, are you sure you sent us out here in the Father's time? Well, he did, didn't he? Hallelujah. But they were toiling and rowing. For here's the second point. The wind was contrary. So there was contrary winds. First of all, he constrained them. And now there's contrary winds. Anybody felt any contrary winds lately? Maybe in your home, maybe in your business, maybe in your individual life. But there's contrary winds.
that blow upon our lot. We could get on that and preach on that. But there's all types of winds that come our way. But these contrary winds came. But let me ask you a question. Were they in the will of the Lord? Certainly. Who sent them out there? Jesus did it. And all of a sudden, they're in a storm. I mean, no, he'll lead you in some hard places. The Bible said the Holy Ghost led him into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. 40 days and 40 nights. Isn't that right? And if he led Jesus, he's going to lead his sons, come on, into a few things. Isn't that right? Hallelujah. How many know some's in it tonight?
Amen.
Now, it says here, and about the fourth watch of the night, there were four watches from 6 to 9, 9 to 12, 12 to 3, and 3 to 6. Now, almost 12 hours had expired before Jesus begins to appear. Otherwise, to me, it was like probably a helpless, hopeless situation for those apostles out there. They never expected something they were going to see. How many know tonight, Jesus never comes the way you think he's going to come? And he doesn't come usually in the time you think he's going to come unless he just specifically speaks to you. Isn't that right? And the reason we miss Jesus is because he'll never come the way we think he's going to come. And he'll always come a different way. And if we don't recognize it, how many know our traditions will say that's not Jesus? And we'll back up. Isn't that right? How many's ever backed up? Besides me. Amen? Hallelujah. Now, it says here in the scriptures that, look in verse 48. That he came in this fourth watch of the night, and he cometh unto them walking upon the sea, and would have did something, done something, whatever. Would have passed by them. How many know he's going to pass by some? But there's going to be some, even in their ignorance, is going to cry out. Isn't that right? I guess we've all done that. But yet, they thought he was a demon.
Yeah.
I mean, here's the Lord of glory. Here's the one that had preached to them and with them and walked with them and that saw the miracles. And all of a sudden, here he comes on the sea and they don't believe it's Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. They thought he was a demon. I mean, know that many tonight probably would not recognize the real Jesus. Huh? Verse 50. Hallelujah. For they all saw him and were troubled. And immediately he talked with them and said to them, be of good cheer. So the third point is he brought comfort. That's the third C. How many know when he comes aboard, he's going to bring comfort?
Amen.
They've been in a storm, but he's going to bring comfort. How many know that when you're comforted, you can comfort somebody else?
Amen.
And you can't unless you've had these tribulations and the comfort of Jesus coming to you. That's the only way you can reach out and comfort others. And he said, it is I, be not afraid. Verse 51, he went up into the ship, and the wind ceased, and they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure and wondered. Verse 52, here's the fourth sea. And they considered not the miracle because of the loaves. Why? Their heart was hardened. Now here's two things they forgot. Now, I can't prove it, but the baskets could be right between their legs there in the boat. But two things they forgot. They forgot his word, and they forgot his work. Are you hearing me? Now, turn back to Matthew 14. We're going to be back here in a little bit in Mark 6. Hallelujah. How many know the Holy Ghost is faithful?
Amen.
He quickened this to me today, and then I don't know what happened. All of a sudden, my mind went blank. And I said, well, he'll have to bring it back. Praise the Lord. Before the service over, it came back. I mean, how many know that the enemy attacks our minds?
Yeah.
Amen? And that's what happened. It's just like all of a sudden, I don't know what happened. I was listening or something, and all of a sudden, it was gone, this quickening that I'd already had about this tonight. And so later the Lord brought it back. And so I felt we were on the right track. Praise the Lord. And I give credit to the Lord. Now, in Matthew 14, look in verse 22 again. There's that constraining the disciples to get in the ship, go to the other side, sending the multitudes away. And then in evening is coming, and they're alone. He's alone on land. Verse 23, he's praying in the mountain. Verse 24, the ship was in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves. The wind was contrary. There's those contrary winds again. And in the fourth night of the watch, here he comes walking on the sea. The disciples, seeing they were troubled, and they said, it is a spirit, and they cried out for fear in verse 26. Verse 27, Jesus spake to them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. Verse 28, but Peter answered and said, Lord, and notice what he called him. Why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say unto you? Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And Jesus said one rhema word, come. Amen. One word. Come, Peter. Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water, hallelujah, to go to Jesus. Amen. Peter is a type of the man child. Are you hearing me?
Amen.
The rock was cut out of the mountain and smote the great image. The man-child comes out of the woman in Revelation 12. And here Peter is a type of the man-child stepping out of the boat. Only one of the 12. The boat's the church. How many know there's coming one out of the church? And yet they're a part of the church. Isn't that right? And Peter steps out on the water and he starts into a supernatural ministry. Anytime you walk on water, how many know that's a supernatural ministry? Amen. Have to be, wouldn't it?
Amen.
Hallelujah. And so Peter obeys the Lord Jesus. How many know there's a timing of the Father for this to happen? You can jump out of that boat anytime, but unless you've heard the rhema, how many know it's not going to work? Isn't that right, brother? It's not going to work, but there is a timing of the Father. And in the Father's time, brethren, I want to tell you, that man-child, those sons, those overcomers, are going to hear the voice of the Lord. And they're going to come over that boat, hallelujah, into a supernatural ministry. Amen? How many long to see that?
Hallelujah.
The Bible said all creation is groaning and waiting for this manifestation, this revelation of the sons of God. Amen? And it's going to be in His timing. It's going to be His sons. And I want to tell you, when they come, they're not going to glorify themselves. They're going to glorify Jesus. Hallelujah. And they're going to speak of the Lamb. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Isn't that right? Praise the Lord. So Peter goes to Jesus walking on the water. Well, we know he begins to sink, and Jesus reached out and, well, I pick him up. Anyway, raised him up, whatever. How many know we've all sunk? If it hadn't been for him, we'd never made it. Can you say amen?
Amen?
Verse 31, he reaches his hand out and caught him and said to him, O thou little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come to the ship, the wind ceased. Now notice, when they were come to the ship, they both walked back. Peter escorted Jesus back to the boat. Back to the rest of the church. Are you hearing me? One time the Lord said these words to me. He said the word Messiah, Martha, man-child, and messengers. How many know the Messiah went up to the Father, came back and ministered to the disciples 40 days and 40 nights? How many know that's the Bible? He said to Mary, I ascend to my God and your God. Remember that? And he went up at that time, and he came right back that night, and for 40 days he ministered to the disciples. How many know that's the Bible? Some of you do, some of you don't. Then there's a man-child who comes out of the woman. But what is the man-child going to do? Well, yes, he is caught up, but then he's going to minister back to the woman in the wilderness. The Bible tells you that in Revelation 12. Isn't that right?
Amen.
And then, of course, the messengers, which speaks of the angels taking Lot out and these two spies. I won't go into that. But then there is Martha. Turn over to John 11, just a minute. We're going to come back to this story here in just a second. Just want to look at this for just a minute. Now, most of us put Martha down, but if you put Martha down, you don't know your Bible.
Right.
Yes, one time we've seen her in a carnal state. Well, how many of us has ever been in one? Most of the time. But Martha believed Jesus on many occasions in different ways. Now, in chapter 11, Martha is a type of this man-child people. You say, well, she's a woman. Well, in Christ Jesus, there's neither male nor female.
Amen.
How many know God's not looking at the sex? When we move in the spirit, that is. Now, that don't take away from your, you know, womanhood and manhood in the natural. But in John 11, verse 20, then Martha, as soon as she had heard that Jesus was coming, how many believe he's coming?
Amen.
This is in the natural, but I mean, how many know he's coming in us and yet he's coming out there? Went and met him, hallelujah, went and met him. Go you out to meet the bridegroom. Matthew 25, verse 10. But Mary sat still in the house, still in the church, I guess. But Martha goes out and meets him first. Now, as far as we know, nobody saw Martha go. How many know that when the man-child is going to be caught up, it's going to be done in the spirit, secretly? Are you hearing me? Now, look in verse 28. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary her sister. Now here's Martha coming back now to minister to Mary. And notice she's coming to Mary how? You know, Jesus came and ministered to the disciples. You never read where he ministered to the world in those 40 days. The man-child is going to minister to the woman. Are you hearing me? The church. And here it says, she called her sister secretly saying, the master is come and calleth for thee. Mary? I mean, there's two groups we're seeing in the church. The first fruits and the great harvest is coming in.
Amen.
And as soon as she heard that, she arose quickly. God's going to do a quick work. Did you know that? Cut it short in righteousness. And notice, came to him, came to Jesus. Now, Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that what? I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you can be also. How many know, you know where that place is? The Bible said that place was in the Father. In John chapter 14, three times at least, Jesus said he was in the Father. Well, again, the Father's a spirit. Isn't that right? There's a lot of things I can go into there. All right, now notice. But he was in that place where Martha met him. She met him first, didn't she? In that place. Come on. And notice the Jews then which were with her in the house and comforted her when they saw Mary. Now here, they see Mary leaving. And she rose up, what? Hastily or in a hurry, and went out and followed her, saying, she'd go up to the grave to weep. And Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, and she fell at his feet. She was accustomed to doing that. Now, praise the Lord. Peter gets out of the boat. And Peter begins to walk on the water, which is supernatural. Amen? And he brings Jesus back to the boat. Now, look in verse 32 of chapter 14 there, Matthew. And when they were come to the ship, the wind ceased. How many know when he comes aboard, the storm's over? Then they that were in the ship came and did something.
Worship
broke out. They didn't worship Peter. They worshiped Jesus. Are you hearing me? They worshiped him. Hallelujah. How many know there's workers in the outer court? And there are warriors in the holy place. But God's raising up some worshipers. Amen. In fact, in Revelation 11, those that's going to be measured will be those who are worshipers. And those who live in the outer court are going to be trampled down. God has his perfected ones. God has his protected ones. And yet there will be those destroyed, believing ones who lose the body. And we know the outer court speaks of your body also. That means physically, people's going to come under strong judgment in the days ahead. I'm talking about Revelation 11. And right here, hallelujah, they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying of a truth, thou art the Son of God. Amen. Now go to John 6.
Yes, hallelujah.
John 6. I'm not going to preach long tonight. Oh. John 6. Hallelujah. Look in verse. See here. 16. The disciples go into the sea. They enter that ship again over towards Capernaum. Verse 18, this storm arises again. Verse 19, when they rowed all these different furlongs, they see Jesus walking on the sea, drawing nigh to the ship, and they were afraid. But he said to them, "It is I, be not afraid." Then they willingly received him into the boat, the ship, into the church. Now look at this. You talk about a miracle. Here it is. And immediately, when he came on board, they not only worshiped and received him, but it said the ship was at the land where they went. They went to the other side.
Yes, hallelujah.
Well, I'll tell you, that will not happen until Peter gets out of the boat and brings Jesus back to the ship. Yes. Amen. How many know it says the dead in Christ shall rise first? You know who that is? That's the first fruits. Dead in Christ. That's the key, in Christ. Not everybody is necessarily moving in Christ. It's one thing for Christ to come in you, but you've got to begin to move in Christ, in the anointed one. Isn't that right?
Amen.
I mean, when you start moving in the Spirit, you're a different woman, different man. Your lifestyle is different. Isn't that right? But the dead in Christ rise first. Then, that word then means after that or afterwards. Sometimes it can be 3 years, even 14 years. I can show you where that word can mean that. But the timing is up to God. But after that, we which remain and are alive shall be caught up together with who? Them. Who's them? First fruits. The dead in Christ. So shall we ever be with the Lord. What am I saying? Hallelujah. I'm telling you, there's a people getting out of the boat into a supernatural ministry. They're caught up and they're sent back to minister to the church. Amen. And God's going to get her ready. And how many know Paul said there's a catching up in the air? How many know the air is the environment? It's the air below the mountains. It's that stuff when you go so high, you don't have it. And Paul said he wasn't a shadow boxer. He wasn't one who beats the air. Another place in Acts says they threw dust into the air. How many know Satan's the prince and power of the air? And the word air and spirit, it's not the same word, but how many know it's basically the meaning is the same? It's not the same word, though, but basically it's the same. Now, so it says here that immediately they were at the land. Now, turn back to Mark chapter 6. Praise you, Jesus.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. In Mark 6, it says in verse 53, "And when they had passed over..." But what did they pass over, brethren? The sea, which was a storm. How many know you got to come over something? You're going to be an overcomer. You either come over, it'll come over you. Isn't that right? And so here, they passed over. They came to the land of Gennesaret and drew to the shore. And when they were come out of the ship... Now notice, everybody's getting out now. Hallelujah. Everybody's going to get out and do something. I know a lot of people saying we're in the great revival, but I don't believe it. I wish we were. Hallelujah. But I'll tell you what, it's going to come. Amen. How many believe that?
Amen.
Now turn over just a minute. I'll finish this in just a minute. Turn over to 1 Kings 17. Hallelujah. And in chapter 17, verse 3, the Lord tells Elijah to hide himself. And then chapter 18, he tells him to to show himself. But in chapter 17, he hid himself by the brook Cherith. How many know that word Cherith means to cut? It's not before Jordan. And how many know that the ravens came and fed this man? Amen. Hallelujah. How many's been ever been fed with some ravens in the outer court? Sure have. And then God commanded him to go to a widow woman. Can't you hear all the talk? Here's a prophet going to a widow woman's house in verse 9. Get thee to Zarephath, which belong to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I command a widow woman there to sustain thee, and he hadn't even told her about yet. How many know she's the type of the church? Come on. You know your Bible. She's the type of the church sustaining this prophet. Who's Elijah? Oh, he's the prophet. How many know that in the days of Elijah, this famine was 3.5 years? How many know there was two people giving Elijah's trouble? Jezebel and Ahab. One's political, one's religious. And Revelation, how many know she's riding the beast? Revelation 17, she's in control. But the beast is going to turn on her and burn her with fire, the scripture says. Isn't that right? Burn her flesh. How many know Jezebel's flesh got run over by Jehu's chariot? And the dogs ate her flesh. Amen? Hallelujah. Now, God says to him, go to the brook, then go to the woman and be sustained. And then how many know later an angel fed him? Yes. So you've been fed by ravens in the outer court? And there's a woman in the holy place that'll feed you, the church. But thank God he's got some angels who can feed us. Isn't that right? How many know he's got a Melchizedek priesthood coming forth?
Hallelujah.
Amen? How many know angels represents messengers, but it can be people in the scripture. Not just the heavenly angels from heaven. How many know some of God's peoples are called angels in scripture? That prophet in Revelation was called an angel that gave John the revelation. He was a prophet, but he was called an angel. A messenger. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And so we see something. Now turn to chapter 18, just a minute. Now, let's look at a few scriptures here. And by the way, how many know that he prophesied the death of Ahab and Jezebel?
Yes.
And he was in the famine 3.5 years and was coming to a close. Praise the Lord. How many believe God is going to send tribulation? How many know God? People is going to bring the tribulation. In Revelation 11, there are people prophesying the judgments of God. That's in God's time, but it's coming. Isn't that right? The tribulation is not 7 years. It is 3.5 years. The great tribulation that we're facing. And yet God's raising up an Elijah company, isn't he? The army of the Lord. Amen? And preparing them. So right here in chapter 18, notice it says the first thing in verse 30, he said to the people, come near unto me. Come near to this minister, to this prophet. Well, how many know the prophet Jesus was in this prophet right here? Amen. First thing is to come near to the ministry. As Brother Miller said, without the fivefold ministry, we can't be perfected. And number two, he repaired the altar. How many altars need to be repaired in our lives? Amen. I could say a lot about that. And he goes ahead and builds the altar. 12 stones, which represents government. And then he puts the wood in order. There's an order coming, verse 33. And then he tells them to get some water, 4 barrels of water. Well, there's a famine in the land, Elijah. But he tells them, they find it somewhere. He tells them again, 12 barrels of water. Again, that's government, but that's sacrifice. How many know God requires sacrifice? Sure does. And verse 36, it's at the time of the evening sacrifice. That's Psalms 141, verse 2, if you want to read scripture on that. And verse 36 and 37, he begins to pray 63 words. And verse 38, the fire of God fell and consumed everything. Are you hearing me? The story's not over yet. Hallelujah. Look in verse 41. Elijah said to Ahab, get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain. Abundance. Amen? God's going to send an abundant rain, I believe, in this hour, in this end time. So Ahab went up to eat and drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, and he cast himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees. That's intercession. How many know it's not going to come without intercession? And said to the servant, go up now, look towards the sea. The sea is humanity. That was a natural sea. And he went up and looked and said, there's nothing. I mean, that's what we do a lot of times. We look in the natural. He said, go again 7 times. That's God's number, isn't it?
Yes. And it came to pass at the seventh time that he said, behold, there rises a little cloud. How many know that's God's glory? That cloud. But it's a little cloud. Hallelujah. It's just a little cloud, Elijah. Well, I'll tell you, God's raising up a little cloud. First fruits. And when he saw that little cloud, it was a sign that the abundance of rain also was right behind it. Yeah. Can you hear me? And it says here that this little cloud came out of the sea like a man's hand. How many know that speaks of the ministries? And he said, go up and say to Ahab, prepare thy chariot and get thee down, that the rain stop thee not. And it came to pass in the meanwhile that the heaven was black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain. Here comes the abundance. And Ahab rode and went to Jezreel, and the hand of the Lord, glory to God, was on Elijah. And he girded up his loins and ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. So here's a prophet outrunning Ahab the king. Amen. Jesse Owens had nothing on Elijah. Now here's the thing. Here's the thing. The people had been out here all day to see this fireworks. And Elijah said, you know, either believe Baal or believe God. Isn't that right? But I can hear some of them saying, well, let's get the kids and the wife and let's get on down. Nothing's going to happen. And about the time they get to the bottom, fireworks goes off on top. How many know unbelief will stop us in our tracks? Amen? Praise the Lord. Now back to Mark and we'll close here. Mark 6:54. I said that they were all come out of the ship. They all got out, and what else happened? And they knew him. Anybody want to know him tonight? Not just know about him, but to know him intimately. It says they knew him. And that word knew means to be fully acquainted with. And ran to the whole region round about him, began to care about in beds those that were sick, where they heard he was, and whithersoever he entered, the villages, cities, country, they laid the sick in the streets and besought him that they might touch, if it were, but the border of his garment, and as many as touched him were made whole. You talking about a revival, there it was. And I'm telling you, there is a ministry getting ready to come out of the church. And when they step out into that supernatural ministry, they're going to minister back to that woman and get her prepared for the return of Jesus. Amen? Hallelujah. And I believe we're going to see a revival. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. But it's coming God's way. It's not going to come the way man has usually taught us. And so he'll come. He'll come. But he's going to come in his time and in his way. We just better recognize it's Jesus.
Oh, hallelujah.
Come on, let's stand. Praise the Lord.
Glory to God, Jesus.
I bless you.
Hallelujah.
Let's just praise him tonight.
Glory to God, Father, we magnify thee.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Let's love the Lord. Let's love the Lord. Praise you, Lord. We worship you, Lord. We thank you tonight, Lord, that you're raising up a mighty and a holy people, Lord, into your likeness and into your image, Lord. Blessed be your name, Lord. Blessed be your holy name, Lord. Marvelous is your name. Hallelujah. And your nature, Lord, that you put in us, Lord. And help us to know you, Lord, to worship you, to receive you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
In the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to minister to a few in the Spirit tonight, so just stay in the Spirit with me. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Let's worship our Lord, can we? Let me get through here, brother. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The hand of the Lord is upon thee, my daughter. And know that God has heard your cry and your petition. Yea, the Lord thy God is with thee. Fear thou not, saith the Lord. Fear not what the enemy would say to thee and do unto thee, for the hand of the Lord is upon thee. And I'll give you the grace and the strength to stand, for I put my ability, my know-how in you. I put my words within you. Trust me and believe that I'm able to bring thee through, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Come on, let's praise our God tonight. Let's praise our God tonight.
Surely the Lord is with thee, and the Lord shall strengthen and comfort thee. Yea, set thy heart upon him. Yea, gaze upon the Lord Jesus Christ. For surely the Lord desires to give you a vision of him. Yea, forget the carnality, forget the earthly things that would hold thee down. But rise thou up, saith the Lord thy God, for I'm going to bring you up higher. I'm going to change you, saith the Lord. And I've heard your cry and your petition. And I'll even cause you to inherit things you know not yet of. So walk in the Spirit, my daughter. Mark the word of the Lord. But I say, allow not the carnal to hold thee down. Cut the cords and come up high with me, saith the Lord. Praise the Lord. Come on, let's praise our God. Let's praise our God. Let's praise our God. Oh, yes, amen. The Lord is sufficient. Helper. The Lord is your strength. Yea, the Lord shall quicken thee. Yea, he has not given you the spirit of fear, but love, power, and a sound mind. I have not put timidity in thee. The enemy would work on thy mind it this way, but I, the Lord, would put boldness and confidence and new strength within thee, not only in your body, but I would put my spiritual strength in thee and cause you to rise up. I would cause you to hear my voice. In your bosom, in your heart, in your spirit. Yea, for you, the Lord shall speak to thee, and he shall quicken thee, and he'll show you things to come. He'll speak to you sometimes in the future in dreams, saith the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Come on, let's praise our God. Let's praise our God. Let's praise our God. The Lord has called thee to walk a holy life and a clean life and clean living. And I'll help you, my son. I'll cause you to do it. And I'll cause you to see things in the Spirit from this night forward. So set your eye upon the Lord. I'm going to bring visions before your heart and before your eye. And you're going to see things you've not seen. You're going to hear things you've not heard. So be not distracted, but know that the Lord is going to do it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, we praise you, Lord. Blessed be his name. Blessed be his name.
Hallelujah.
Oh, hallelujah. Praise his name. Praise his name. Hallelujah. 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 I've called you, my son, to be a worshiper. I've called you, my son, into the heavenlies. And man has put thee down. Man has stood against thee on the left and on the right. But in this hour, yea, the Lord is going to put a stop to that. And the Lord is going to show you things to come in the Spirit. I'm going to open my word anew and afresh to your heart, saith the Lord. So be quickened by the Lord and be strengthened this night, saith the Lord. For I brought thee here for a purpose that you might not only learn, but that you may grow in him and in the knowledge of the Lord. For I, the Lord, will test your waters, but thou shalt come through, and yea, thou shalt know that I am good, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The Lord is good. His mercy endures forever. And his mercy does reach out to thee this night, saith the Lord. I've heard your petition. I've seen the love and the goodness that's within thee that I've put in thee, saith the Lord. And I've seen the fruit in your heart and in your life. So be not weary and well-doing, but know that the Lord has heard thy cry. The Lord has heard you, and yea, the answers do come. And I will hear, and I will answer, saith the Lord. And I will show you things in this hour that you've cried out for, because I'll bring them to pass. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise his wonderful name. Praise his wonderful name. Praise his wonderful name. Praise his wonderful name. Oh, yes. Amen, Lord. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Be not discouraged, my son. Neither be disheartened, but know that the Lord is with thee, and that the Lord shall give you vision. He'll give you insight. Yea, I put insight and vision within you, my son, from my throne and from my power. And yea, man would put me down, but the Lord said, I'll lift you up, because you have went down. And as you go down, you'll further come up, saith the Lord, for I planted and I'm able to raise you up. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Let's give Jesus a good hand tonight. Bless his name. Bless his holy name. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. How many want to be part of this people tonight, this man-child people? Raise your hands. Keep them up. Father God, you see our hands. Lord God, I pray for everyone tonight that has his or her hands in the air. And I pray, Lord, that you would give them supernatural strength and grace, Lord, and grit, and whatever it takes, Lord, to press their way in to that place, oh God. I pray for them, Lord. Visit them, Lord. Move upon them. Open your word to their hearts, Lord. Lord, take them in the book, but put the book in them, Lord, and give them revelation, knowledge of Jesus. We thank you, we praise you, and everybody said, amen. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you. Praise the Lord.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.